Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I'm Dr. Susan Guttentag, the TIPQC principal investigator and a neonatologist at the Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital. Tennessee has recently moved to a licensure process for level 2 through level 4 NICUs in the state. As a result, the state is hoping for more risk-appropriate care, as well as improved care by setting expectations for the level of care in each NICU. These expectations are based on the Tennessee Perinatal Regionalization Guidelines, and they are further codified in the licensure rules. A part of this process will include site visits by an approved resource. The state is actively working on a process for site visits, and the American Academy of Pediatrics has a NICU verification program that has been involved in site visits for over 10 years. In order to learn and prepare for this transition, today we have a distinguished panel joining us from the American Academy of Pediatrics who specialize in site visits. Dr. Tammy Wallace is a neonatal nurse practitioner, was a member of the AAP NICU Verification Program Advisory Board, and has been a neonatal nurse surveyor since the program's inception. And for those of us at TIPQC, there's a warm place in our hearts for Tammy, who was an infant QI specialist with TIPQC several years ago. Also joining us, Dr. Colleen Moss is a neonatal nurse practitioner, a current member of the AAP Advisory Board, and the Associate Nursing Director for the AAP NICU Verification Program. Finally, Nicole Faster is a neonatal nurse leader with clinical and programmatic experience in advancing risk-appropriate neonatal care. She currently serves as senior manager of the NICU verification program for the AAP. Thank you all for joining us today. So why don't we start out by, it would be wonderful if the three of you would tell us about yourselves and what drew you to the AAP NICU verification program.
Hi, this is Tammy Wallace. I am, as she said, a neonatal nurse practitioner, worked at Vanderbilt, member of TIPQC. And I actually got involved in the discussions about risk-appropriate care while I was at Vanderbilt. It was an incredible opportunity for me because I have this incredible privilege to see different NICUs, see what everyone does well, see what people can improve on. It gave me a new lens to look at my work and what I do for babies and how we can improve care for babies all over the nation. So it has turned into an incredible set of opportunities, and I continue to enjoy going and doing them. Hopefully, I'll be seeing somebody in Tennessee soon.
Hi, everyone. This is Colleen Moss, and like Tammy, I work at Vanderbilt. I actually currently work still at Vanderbilt as a neonatal nurse practitioner, and I'm so honored to be a part of the AAP's NICU verification program. Tammy actually recruited me to join around 6 years ago. And so I believe is when I started having an interest in joining the program. And I've been actively serving as a surveyor for at least the last 4 years. It might be close to five now.
How about you, Nicole?
Hi, everyone. I'm Nicole Faster, and it is a pleasure to speak today about the NICU verification program. So I was lucky enough that I began my nursing career directly in the NICU after nursing school. And so I've been a NICU nurse now for 18 years. I've always clinically practiced in the state of Illinois, which has a very robust verification and designation program through the Illinois Department of Public Health. And so I was lucky enough that I sat on the other side of verification and designation through my participation in NICUs in the state of Illinois. I started my career at UIC and then transitioned to a high-level functioning level 3 that provided everything but ECMO and cardiovascular surgery. And in that capacity, I worked as a leader, educator, PICC nurse, transport nurse, a little bit of everything, and absolutely fell in love with the neonatal population. And now I've had the pleasure to transition to this great program, and I feel like I get to make a much broader impact on neonatal care on a national level, which has been an absolute blessing in my neonatal career.
Well, as I said before, for the first time, Tennessee is beginning NICU verification of levels of care as part of the licensure process. The AAP has been doing this for quite some time. Who'd like to tell me a little bit about the history of site visiting?
Wonderful. So the NICU verification program at the AAP has been around since 2016. And our program started as we were a third-party approved serving agency in the state of Texas. So since 2016, we have been providing third-party verification surveys to facilities in Texas. Since then, we have expanded to Missouri and Georgia, and now we have expanded to a national program, which is our neonatal excellence program. So the backstory on verification site visits is the evidence-based literature suggests that when facilities self-evaluate their level of care, they often do at a higher level than they actually provide. And so the basis of our program and the work here at the Academy is that we saw there was benefits to implementing a national program that was verifying facilities to national standards, which then would elevate both the level of care and standardize care across NICUs across the entire United States. So the backstory is that we started in Texas and now we've expanded to Georgia and Missouri. And we are very excited to be able to expand to facilities in Tennessee through our national program, which is the Neonatal Excellence Program.
Nicole, maybe you could clarify for me, those of us in Tennessee who've been involved in the state perinatal advisory committee know about a tool created by the CDC, the LOCATE tool. How does that compare to the process that the American Academy of Pediatrics does for site visiting?
So the CDC LOCATE tool is utilized for facilities to evaluate their levels of care. The original CDC LOCATE tool utilized the AAP's original policy statement on levels of care, and that LOCATE tool has now since been updated to align with our standards that we published in 2023, which are the standards for levels of neonatal care 2, 3, and 4. So facilities can utilize the LOCATE tool, which then evaluates their level of care to the original policy statement and now our recently published standards. But what the LOCATE tool does not capture is that as part of completing that tool, there is no complementary site visit that collaborates with the completion of that tool and then actually verifies the level of care by a third party. And so while facilities can complete the CDC LOCATE tool, that still potentially aligns with the evidence-based literature that facilities are evaluating themselves at a higher level than the care that they actually provide. So the LOCATE tool is a really great tool for states to utilize to capture the geographical landscape of neonatal care in a specific state. But the verification and site visit process allows for a third party to come in and evaluate compliance with state-specific policy.
Thanks, Nicole. So I'd like to learn a little bit more about how the AAP verification format differs from potentially other NICU levels of care verification across the country.
Thanks, Susan. So this is Nicole again. And so I think speaking to our process, our goal of the NICU verification program is really that it is consultative, it's collaborative, and it's educational. And so our process is not a one-time snapshot of the care being provided, but a comprehensive review and a three-year partnership with facilities to assess ongoing quality improvement and to help facilities and really partner with them to drive better care. So how we understand and how we see our program is a continuous quality improvement process. in which we are engaging with facilities to really help them identify opportunities for improvement in their care delivery. It could also look like improvement in resources, personnel, or equipment. It could look like improvement in policies, procedures, or guidelines. But the intent of the program is to partner with facilities. Our intent is not to be a one-time opportunity to find deficiencies, but rather to partner with facilities to help them elevate the care that they're providing. And Colleen and Tammy, please add to that if you feel there's other things that I may have missed as well.
This is Colleen. I felt that that was an excellent summary because Nicole really highlighted and emphasized the collaborative partnership that occurs between the hospital and the AAP staff. And in terms of, we don't want it to just be a checklist, right? Like, oh, yes, you can provide central lines and you can maintain them without having a CLABSI for 30 days or fill in the blank, whatever the number of days is. But it's truly to see over time cycles as opposed to just a one moment in time, like a survey evaluation, like, oh, yep, they meet these levels of care, but truly verifying that each hospital is able to provide the level of care that they say that they are providing. And I'll actually turn it over to Tammy because she loves to talk about risk appropriate care. And that's one of the key drivers of our process.
Yes, we very much, I think all of us who do this and who've been doing it for any length of time, very much look to see not only what people need to improve on, but what they do very well. We are learning from each unit just as they are learning from us. So when we finish, you not only get a formal report of our findings, but you get a list of the things that we think you do exceptionally well and a list of things that aren't deficiencies, but are things that you could look at and perhaps do a little bit better at. We've known for a long time that where you're born affects your outcomes and that being in the appropriate risk situation with appropriate care for mom and for baby and the appropriate resources really determines outcomes. There's some increasing data that volume also improves outcomes, but that appropriate care, babies being cared for in the right place, not only improves care for the baby, but makes sure that resources are used more effectively, that families have the benefits from safer, more coordinated care. Tennessee's in a unique situation because Tennessee has a wonderful, stable regionalization system to support risk appropriate care. Not all states are that fortunate. So we know that you are perfectly set up to use this information and use verification of levels of care to improve outcomes in Tennessee.
Great. That's a terrific start, everyone. But it also sounds like a large amount of work that goes into this process as on the hospital side of things. So what type of guidance could you give a hospital preparing for a site visit?
So our process starts even before the survey. When we engage and meet with facilities in preparation for their survey, we like to meet and provide guidance 12 to 18 months prior to a survey. And so during that pre-survey process, there's a couple of things that facilities complete in preparation for that survey, and then our team is able to provide guidance in that preparation. One of the things that each facility is required to develop during our process is what is called a neonatal program description. And that neonatal program description is a high-level scope of service document that provides information to our surveyors about the facility before we even walk in the doors. And the best thing about that neonatal program description is it allows for facilities to complete their own gap analysis of the personnel, resources, equipment that they have in preparation for their survey. And in the development of that document, it also allows for ongoing conversation with us at the Academy and our survey team members to provide guidance to facilities if there is opportunities for improvement for them to implement change even before the survey process happens. So over that 12 to 18 month period, we will provide support to facilities through pre-survey documents, examples of the neonatal program description, an outline of that, facilities will also complete what is called the pre-review questionnaire. And that is a questionnaire that is completed in REDCap. That goes into a little bit more of granular detail about the facility's capabilities from a data perspective to the number of patients they see or admit per year, what their average daily census is. If it's a delivering institution, how many deliveries they do. It goes into detail about NICU staffing from a nursing perspective. It goes into details about provider coverage and also the ancillary team services that are instrumental to the NICU world as a whole. And so those two documents and the creation and completion of those documents allows for facilities to have conversation early on about things that could be implemented even before the survey happens. Then during the survey process, it's a two-day survey in which we send a neonatologist and a neonatal nurse. And then if we are evaluating surgical care, we all also send a pediatric surgeon. And so that two-day survey is really a collaborative environment in which facilities and surveyors, just like Tammy said, are really learning from each other during that process. And so my biggest recommendation, and then I'll pass to Tammy and Colleen to add their insight as well, is that it's really beneficial when facilities start preparation well in advance of the survey process. If they utilize the resources such as the AAP staff and the surveyors in that preparation period, ask the questions, it really helps them prepare for the site visit themselves. Our goal is that there's no surprises at the site visit, but that facilities really feel prepared going into that site visit itself. And so the benefit is that we will work with facilities to help them make changes prior to the survey actually happening. And my other recommendation is to have everybody at the table early on. Just like we send a multidisciplinary team, we understand there's multidisciplinary individuals who are involved in neonatal care. And so having them at a seat at that table early on really shows the collaboration of the facility in preparation for that survey process.
What I'd really like is, since you've been doing the site visits as long as you have, do you have a particular example that highlights the value of that pre-survey period of time?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. So some examples that we've seen is during dialogues and completion of the neonatal program description or the PRQ, it was recognized early on that facilities could have benefited from additional lactation support based on their patient volume. And so that allowed for us to have dialogue early on with facilities to say, based on your patient volume and the evidence-based literature that was utilized to develop our standards, our recommendation would to have so many lactation consultants per number of deliveries and admissions to the NICU. So that was something that was even able to be implemented and done and have additional lactation support before a facility even actually conducted the site visit. Another great example is in the standards itself, we have very detailed standards for quality and patient safety. And one of the things that we've seen in a lot of facilities is that they're doing a lot of great work in quality improvement and patient safety, but their processes is an infrastructure could potentially be improved. And so we provide guidance on how facilities can meet those standards and then help them identify areas for improvement pre-survey. So when we work with facilities that 12 to 18 months ahead of time, we have one of our very early discussions on our quality and patient safety standards, which then allows facilities 6 months to implement changes to their infrastructure or process so that at the time of the survey, that is actually already implemented and they can show the documentation of that. And I want to also pass to Tammy and Colleen because they probably have some great examples of what they have seen through the survey process as well.
So when we get there as surveyors, first of all of those reports come to us and we review them. It's a significant amount of work before we arrive, but it's usually a few hundred pages of reading. What can I say? We then look at what's been going on. We have access to meeting minutes. We have access to all sorts of things so that we can assess how they're moving through the process, not just where they are right this second, but we can see that someone's been talking to them and they've changed their lactation staffing, or they've changed their nursing orientation, or they have more social worker and supports for families. We can see some of the things that they've done in preparation for the survey because they're identifying challenges along the way. So it becomes fairly easy to see fairly quickly what people have been working on and where they're going. And hopefully we can provide them with some suggestions too. I stated that we're always learning from other people, as just like they're learning from us, and we share what we've seen and what's worked in other places. So, and sometimes that is the other advantage that we have, is that we frequently have access to the C-suite. They're in our meetings, and so they hear some of the challenges that we see and how they may differ from other institutions. So we can sometimes provide some support. Colleen?
These lovely ladies have given some of my examples that I had come up with, but just to add a third example for what I've seen, I just had the privilege to see as a surveyor, is that, again, we can bring knowledge or insight into their quality improvement process. A lot of our lovely NICUs that we've seen throughout the country, not just in the state of Texas, truly want to improve neonatal care through their quality improvement initiatives. However, they may have some deficits or some challenges related to data collection. Maybe they don't have a designated or dedicated individual that is specific to collecting data so that they can measure the outcomes to determine if the interventions that they've identified as being salient on their either their fishbone diagram or their key driver diagram, they are able to. We, as seeing a third of being a neutral third party and seeing areas for improvement, we can advocate for those positions. And then those NICU teams have been able to acquire those individuals in order to help them better measure their outcomes to demonstrate how they are improving neonatal care.
That's a terrific process that you're describing. In all of your experience with the verification process, what are some of the common themes that seem to come up that hospitals may be struggling with?
This is Colleen. I'll give a brief overview of some of the things I've seen in my time that I've served as a surveyor. Some of it has to do with preparation for code events, being more prepared in terms of they know NRP, they know the algorithm, but maybe they don't have the equipment in a certain area of triage or near a main OR, and they've identified that as an area for improvement. And so, again, that's one area where I've seen multiple sites have some challenges. And then Tammy mentioned lactation support. That seems to also be an area that is certainly growing throughout the country in terms of a demonstrated need, and then also identifying providers who have achieved either their certification or are working toward their certification, just so that we have the best individuals that can support both moms and babies in order to improve our breastfeeding.
One of the things that I particularly like to look at is how people are functioning in teams. So it's not unusual for us to see people working within their silo. So medicine's working on medical policies and procedures, nursing are working on nursing policies and procedures, but they're not necessarily well coordinated. And of course, care is better when we can get everybody working together and working on the same. So we love to look at how those teams are working together, how they're communicating with each other. Can we see that in the record? Can we see that in policies and procedures? Can we see that in the baby's actual care? Because working within our own silo is something we all do comfortably, but it's not necessarily the best for families.
What else do you give hospitals in order to help them not just identify where their issues are, but point them in the direction of how to fix those problems?
I can speak briefly to that, and then I'll actually have Nicole speak too, because Nicole was really a key piece of the process as she continues the collaborative efforts post-survey so that this facilities can work on any areas for improvement. But one of the areas I know that we've been specific in helping teams have better resources is that we will actually suggest them to go to I squared, S squared, or the IHI model for improvement in order to have additional knowledge and expertise in the area of quality improvement so that, again, they can have a more robust process as they are developing their quality improvement initiatives. But I'll turn it over to Nicole as she can speak to some of the more specifics post-survey.
Thanks, Colleen. So post-survey, our team provides a final report to all facilities that engage with our program. So that final report assesses whether the facility meets or does not meet the standards as published in the 2023 standards for levels of neonatal care. If there is deficiencies we found as not met, we put comments as to why our survey team members feel that those weren't met. And all of our final reports go through a very comprehensive peer review process to ensure that every survey team is assessing facilities to the same standards and same expectations. In addition to the final report, facilities get copies of the record reviews that we conduct during the survey process. And the benefit of those is that each surveyor will provide an overall assessment of the care that is provided. And then we provide what is called an additional findings document. And that document outlines things like you had mentioned, such as opportunities for improvement and the things facilities are doing really well. And the benefit of that document is the things that are identified may not necessarily align with the standard itself, but align with either best practice recommendations or evidence-based literature. And that documentation really provides support facilities need to take that to their leaders to say, these are the recommendations of the external group. And then after that, we have a very robust designation process. So every survey report for every facility that goes through our national program gets that final report within 30 days. And then if there is deficiencies identified, they have 30 days to come up with a corrective action plan. And we will collaborate with teams during that period too to also provide guidance to them as to things to consider for that corrective action plan. And then at 30 days, they submit the corrective action plan back to our team with any supplemental documentation. And that goes through the robust review of our designation committee. And they are the team then that awards that designation status, which is approved by our highest neonatologists within the academy. So that whole process is, again, collaborative and consultative. And then once the designation is awarded, we actually do a touch point with the facilities that have corrective action plans and additional deficiencies identified so that we can ensure there's that ongoing support and continuous quality improvement process in year three of our three-year cycle.
The one thing that I want to emphasize that Nicole said is that everything I do as a surveyor is reviewed multiple times by multiple people. It's never just the opinion of a single individual. Every bit is reviewed. Every bit is held to a single standard so that we can assure that we've given you the best information possible.
Okay, well, this has really been terrific information.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.